In our teaching time today, we're continuing with a message series called Vice Grip. And today we're talking about sloth, laziness for the workaholic. What we're doing, we're working through what's commonly called the seven deadly sins, originally called the seven capital vices. You know, the difference between a sin and a vice. Sin is a momentary, one-time thing. A vice is like a groove, a rut in the concrete of our character. And initially, these seven items, let's put them up here on the screen, please. They were a roadmap for self-examination and a plan for improvement. And they're not listing the worst things we can possibly do, but doorways. These are vices that, if embraced in our character, you just think where lust goes. We started out talking about envy, last week vainglory, and today sloth. And you hear that and you think, oh, sloth, my goodness, sloth, how bad can that be? I mean, like you hit the snooze once, maybe you hit the snooze button a couple of times. I mean, what's the big deal with that? Well, the Bible certainly talks about laziness, but this is not laziness. Sloth, as we're going to see today, is a willful resistance to the invitation to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is especially, we live in such a mobile time right now. And, if you want to hit the easy button, you want to hit the eject button, it's easy to do in our culture. But think of a time when you are living in community for a long period of time, a year, two, three, five, ten. Think marriage, if you will, long-term marriage. Think family of origin. Think long-term friendships, and you think, oh, that's so wonderful, that euphoric and beautiful and romantic. Yeah, for the first 3 months. And then over time, things, I rub you, you rub me the wrong way, things get difficult, and it's going to be real easy to just say, I want to hit the easy button. I want to hit the eject button. This is hard. It's fun walking down the aisle, celebrating with everybody on your wedding day. How fun is that? Now you got to be married. You got to do married and be married. And as one person said, marital love, it just lasts for a lifetime, but it's as daily as doing the dishes. Daily, regular stuff. And sloth shows up in long-term relationships where I don't really want to push through awkward. I don't really want to do difficult. The grass is far greener over there. And I don't want to do the work that love demands of me. Let me put a picture up here on the screen. Sloth, a picture of a sloth. An animal that sleeps from 15 to 18 hours a day, one of the slowest moving mammals in the world, moves so slowly, algae can grow on their fur. You say, well, that's not me. The term is used, though, in Scripture, of something that's unnecessarily slow and resistant. Let me put a phrase up here on the screen. Sloth, known by another term, acedia. From an old word, Acadia. I pronounce it acedia. It simply means lack of care. Dante, the poet, described it as the failure to just love God with your heart and soul. It's apathy, if you will. Apathy in the face of the known will of God. I don't care, and you can't make me. But it has more to do with love than it does work. Let me put that statement up here on the screen. Now, in our culture, when we talk about sloth, a lot of people just think laziness, and they only think of it in terms of a secular version. But listen very, very carefully. You can be super diligent. You get up early, you go to the gym. No one at your office would accuse you of not being even a workaholic. But you might be slothful spiritually, slothful relationally. Suppose I get up every morning at 5 a.m., read the paper, go to work. Everybody at the office thinks I'm a workaholic. Now, things aren't going well with my wife, and I'm sort of distant from my kids. And so what I like to do is I just like to play golf all weekend. Let me plan one more trip away with the guys. I'm super diligent, but I am resistant, willfully so, to the demands of love. Love for God, love for my church, love for my family, love for my neighbor. And so Rebecca DeYoung, in her fabulous book on glittering vices, she even defines sloth as resistance to the invitation to love. And that's what it is. It's a refusal to be moved by love. It's a willful focus on the negative. It's a bitterness that will not move. So let's read scripture here for a moment. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 22. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And the gist of this passage is that, contrary to what you might think, sanctification, growing more and more like Christ, it is not an instantaneous process. It doesn't happen automatically. I'm not zapped. I am partner with God in taking off the old and putting on the new. And the slothful person resists that. Don't tie me down. I don't want to be committed. If it doesn't happen easily, it's just not going to happen. But sanctification requires effort on our part. And listen carefully, the Bible is never opposed to human effort. The Bible is opposed to a sense of human merit, that what I do merits something. But the Bible invites us to exert effort and partner with God in spiritual growth. Here's another passage of scripture that talks about that, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5. And for this reason, listen to these words, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. As one person has well stated, God loves us exactly the way we are, and He loves us too much to let us stay that way. And so He says, you partner with me and make every effort to keep adding to your faith these qualities that culminate in mutual affection and love. Well, as we talk about acedia, sloth, relational laziness, what are some qualities here? What are some obvious sort of symptoms? Let me throw a few up here on the screen. First of all, carelessness. I don't really care. Frankly, my dear, I don't care, and you can't make me care. And it's not my fault that I don't care. Sloth has given rise to what has traditionally been called the sins of omission, so that things I could have done, things I could have said, goodnesses I could have brought to the table, I'm just not willing to put in the energy or the effort. And what happens here is that this is insulating us against the prompting work of the Holy Spirit, who prompts us to do good. Secondly, there's an unwillingness to act. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you have the priest and the Levite who pass on the other side of the street. And what's their mindset? Their mindset is someone else can do the dirty work, not me. But the message of the parable is I can either do what's right or what's easy. And often what's right is not easy. Thirdly, someone with acedia, with slothfulness, they're easily discouraged in the face of difficulty. Easily discouraged in the face of difficulty because so often, especially over long-term assignments, there are obstructions, there are obstacles, there are things you work through, there are times of awkwardness. And listen, and we can do it. We can do it. But the slothful person says, I'm just too easily discouraged by the difficulty, and they give up. And then escapism. Again, you may be a super diligent person, but spiritually slothful, because in escapism, I resist the call to love God, love the church, love one another, love you, love my family, when it is not easy. And it's never been more convenient. It's never been easier than it is now to just hit the eject button or hit the easy button. So, you remember the movie Groundhog Day? You've seen that movie. Great movie, funny movie. Starring Phil Murray as a big city weatherman. Bill Murray starring as a big city weatherman, Phil Connors, and he gets stuck on Groundhog Day, living the same day over and over and over in the same small town, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and he wakes up every morning at 6 a.m. His alarm goes off, and you remember the song, Sonny and Cher, I Got You, Babe, every single morning. At first, he can't believe it, and then he realizes he is stuck in Groundhog Day. How many times did I hear somebody say over the last few months, how you doing? It's Groundhog Day. It's just going through COVID-19, it's Groundhog Day. Here we go. And you remember the movie. Here he is. He's stuck in this small town. First of all, he just can't believe it. And then he just leans into himself, which is he's pretty self-centered. He manipulates things. He seduces people. Now, he's got his eye on Rita, you know, played by Andy McDowell, his TV producer. But she's not interested in him. In fact, she says, one of the key lines in the movie, she says, I could never love you because you could never love me. You could never love anyone but yourself. And then Phil Connors, you know, Groundhog Day, then he just leans into despair. You remember him sitting back in the Lazy Boy watching Jeopardy? He doesn't just know the answers to all the questions. He knows the questions before they're asked. And then something changes. He hated this town. He couldn't stand living in this town. By the way, at the end of the movie, you remember what he said? I love this place. Let's live right here. But there came a change in him. And instead of it all being, you know, self-centered, slothful, he puts his mind to some energy. He actually learns music. He learns the routine of people. There's a little boy who falls out of a tree, but every single day he's there to catch him. There are three older ladies in a car. Every day they get a flat tire, but every day, but now he knows the routine. He's there. There's a guy in a restaurant. He knows that he's going to choke on a piece of steak, but he's right there with the Heimlich maneuver. And all of a sudden, the entire town changed, and he changed because he embraced the invitation and the demands of love when you're in the same place, even living the same day over and over and over. You know what? Some of you, you're married to the same person you were married to a year ago, 5 years ago, 40 years ago. And you could say, well, I'm just going to be passive Groundhog Day. Or you could push through and find some new energy. I'm not saying it's all on you. There are resources to help. But maybe you could pull a Phil Connors. And all of a sudden, rather than saying, I hate this place, I don't like where I am, you say, I want to live right here. This is where I want to be. What's acedia? What's sloth? Slothfulness? It's a refusal to be moved by love. It's this willful focus on the negative. It's a refusal to see God is good. It's a refusal to see any good in the surroundings. It's this being filled with ongoing bitterness. So what can we do? What can we do? Three quick suggestions. First of all, value stability. Wise people of old even used a Latin term, stabilitas. Here's what you do. You stay. You persevere. No, it's not always easy, but you learn something about yourself in doing that. You know what? I don't know everybody's story here, but I guarantee you everybody in this room has a story where you have persevered. You have stayed on track. And I don't mean you just grin and bear it, persevere. I mean you tapped in to the invitation to love God or love another person, and you practice stabilitas. Even when the temptation was there, you felt stretched, you felt uncomfortable, or you were just sick and tired of it, and there could have been an easy escape, but you persevered, and you look back on it, and you say, God has done a work in me and in us through that kind of stability. We push through the awkwardness. We push through the down season. We didn't hit the eject or the easy button. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 will say it like this. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Secondly, stay connected to the church. To those of you watching online, I commend you for staying connected virtually during these days and for making worship and participation something that's still a part of your routine and your habit. You know, the book of Hebrews has some warning passages and warning people against just drifting and falling away. And the warning passage in Hebrews chapter 10 has always intrigued me because of the passage that immediately precedes it. And here's the passage that immediately precedes the warning. You ready? Here it is. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, what happens to me if I just stop meeting, gathering with the church? And I just say willfully, I'm not going to go there. Then it becomes so easy not to re-engage down the line. I'm going to have to push through difficulty. I'm going to have to push through a time of awkwardness. And don't you see the wisdom of the Hebrew writer here? He says, you got to intercept that. Because if you don't intercept that, that just leads to greater and greater willful resistance to the invitation of Jesus Christ in your life. There's an old story about a man who had sort of stopped attending. It's not that he was sick and couldn't go. I mean, he just stopped doing it. Just willful decision, just kind of drifted away. And one of the church leaders went to see him on a cold day. It was a cold day, winter day. There's a fire in the fireplace. and the church leader's talking to the guy about, you know, coming back and being a part of the church. And he didn't think he was getting very far. So that preacher just pulled the screen back. He takes the tongs. He reaches into the fireplace and he begins to separate the coals. And when none of the coals were touching the others, he stood and he watched in silence. And just in a matter of moments, those coals were cold. And then that church leader said to the man, "I'm afraid that's what's happening in your life. And as soon as you isolate yourself from God's people for an extended period of time, you just watch and see how the fire and the warmth dissipates." My friends, stay connected to the church. Yes, there are going to be up days and down days. There are going to be days when the music is fantastic and days when the music... There are going to be boring sermons and boring people and boring... But yeah, stabilitas. Stability. Perseverance. Hang in there. Stay connected. And one more thing. When there's slothfulness, when there's acedia, when there's just a lack of caring about your relationship to God, let me remind you, encourage you to pray. Pray like you can. Don't give up on prayer. Just pray like you can. Pray simply. No matter how feeble the attempt, that's prayer. Just attempting to pray is prayer. And God will take care of the rest. And there may be times when all you can pray is that simple, what's called the Jesus Prayer, which is a quote from Scripture, and it goes like this: "Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And you know what? That sums it up, doesn't it? Lord Jesus, He is the Son of God, and I need His mercy on me, a sinner. Everybody, thank you for being here today. Listen, I commend you. I commend you. I applaud you for running the Christian race. You've had 101 different opportunities along the way to hit eject buttons and easy buttons, but I commend you for hanging in there in your relationships, in faith, in hope, in love. Listen, brothers and sisters, let's reach into the reservoir of the Holy Spirit. Let's find energy. Let's bring that energy into our own hearts. And let's take that energy and let's share it with others. And rather than sins of omission, let's go in to various environments and let's speak up for Christ. Let's be a wellspring of encouragement and strength. And as the scripture we were reading during communion today reminded us, let's not allow our zeal to waver.